The day that my husband got arrested. Are you aware of? Yeah.
Yeah, if you could describe that. I
Oh,
think
I don't
part of
think
it
I've
is
ever
in the
been more.
documentary.
Yeah, I don't think
Yeah.
I've ever been more proud of that man in my whole life. When fracking resumed, Adam's like, this isn't okay. Like, one of the first things, he's a philosophy professor, and one of the first things he teaches at the start of every class is Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham jail. He always teaches that. And that lesson in doing the right thing, even when it's hard to do, right? Standing up against unjust laws. Just because a law exists doesn't mean that it's okay, right? That's what brought us to the ban. That's what led him to protest at that frack site. And so we had a plan. He knew what day this was going to be happening. He told me exactly what needed to be done, and this is what we can expect. And if it doesn't happen this way, then here's, plan B, C, and D. And he got up early, and I was terrified. I wasn't terrified for his interaction with the police because he's a white man, and I wasn't worried about that. I was worried that the frack trucks were just going to run him over. Like, they all knew who he is. I was really worried about that. So that morning, he gets up really early, and I kiss him goodbye, and I'm pretty sure I was going to see him later that day, but I didn't know. I got two little kids at home. My husband's like, bye, I'm going to go get arrested. I'm like, okay. Have fun. Like, hope to see you. And he goes, and I get the kids up and get them ready for school. And this is all happening like before the sun comes up. And I get the kids ready for school, and I'm texting Chief Howell because I want to know, is my husband okay? And I get the kids all dropped off, and Chief Howell, bless his heart, I wish I still had this text message. Bless his heart, he texts me and he's like, Mrs. Briggle, I'm really sorry to say that we have to arrest your husband. He's apologizing to me for arresting my husband. He's like, but it was his choice, and we gave him plenty of warning, and he decided not to move. And I just want you to know that we're going to be arresting him and taking him into the jail. And I texted him back and said, thank you very much for taking good care of him. Let me know when I can pick him up, basically. It was really powerful to be like, I mean, even the police were like, I'm really sorry that we have to do this because this doesn't feel good, you know?
The most civil
I
disobedience.
know, right? It felt, and, you know, it was, and there was that viral picture that Julie Dermanski took of Sergeant, what's his name? Oh, I forget, I can see his face. That sergeant leaning over, and Adam is there, locked arms with the other protesters, and he leans over and he shakes his hand, to thank him for all that he's done for the community, and I'm arresting you now. Like, that was such a powerful image because that so encapsulates what this ban meant to so many people. That officer was just doing his job, but so was Adam, And then I was so incredibly proud of him. And so he got arrested and was sent to the jail and was released a couple of hours later. we weren't sure if they were actually going to press charges. He doesn't have a record of anything. He's like the sweetest boy ever. Oh, that's another thing too. Oh my gosh. Leading up to the ban, I was like, because he was like the golden boy. And I was like, if there's anything that they can do to like get people to not vote for the ban, it's to like take down the golden boy. So I looked at Adam like several times before the ban. I'm like, is there anything you need to tell me? Do you have any other children? Have you ever been married before? And he's like, someone I don't know, and they're like a felon now. Like, what? Like, and he's like, no, like, did you like not pay your taxes? He's like, no, everything's fine. He's like the golden boy, right? Anyway, so I don't, whatever, tangent. Anyway, but he didn't have a record, and so he got released just a few hours later, and we all went out for tacos, and I fed them warm food because it was very cold in the jail, and we weren't sure if he was going to be, if they were going to press charges or not, but he got a lawyer, and it was a friend of ours, I think did it pro bono just because he also believed in all of this, and I believe eventually the charges were dropped, or the timeline of being able to press charges was outside the statute of limitations or whatever. But I was incredibly proud of him. Like, that was, his mugshot is like one of my favorite pictures of him. Because he did, critics will say, well, it was a waste of taxpayer dollars because it was just a stunt. But it was not a stunt. It was standing in the way of an unjust law. HB 40 is an unjust law. We passed by the will of the people by a wide margin. And Austin took it away from us because they're hypocrites and they're in the pocket of the oil and gas industry. And so it was not It was not a publicity stunt. It was a very powerful way of saying, we're watching you, and we're not going to let this continue to happen. And I don't think any new permits have been approved in Denton since then. They might be fracking old wells, but I don't think any new permits have been approved. I could be wrong on that, but I haven't seen the level of activity today that I saw 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that activity has maybe gone to the Permian and the Eagleford Shale, but that would be something interesting to look into, is maybe they just know that they're not welcome here anymore. And I'd like to think that that's the case.
How interesting. Yeah, definitely a line of research to follow up on.
So.
Yeah, that seems like such a powerful moment that you brought up.